Looks like we had a technology challenge, so apologies to monthly donors for the daily recollection not making the recording. And we have a small and mighty group today, as other folks are off at another event. So what would y'all like to look at this morning? Anna?
I want to talk about dropping the conversation.
That's a good one, dropping the conversation.
Oh, wow. I've been dropping it hard.
Yes.
Passionately.
Wow.
Determinedly. And the experience is, you know, I know Sherry says that she pounds on, you've got to get out of the conversation.
We have heard that before, haven't we?
We have.
Yeah.
And my experience is, my gosh, it's so critical, and it's the only thing that's ever going to make any difference. It would be perfectly justifiable if the only thing Sherry ever said was, get out of the conversation.
Yes.
Like, what's the weather forecast for tomorrow? Get out of the conversation.
Yeah.
What are we having for dinner tonight? Get out of the conversation. You know, just, it's it.
It's it. And it would completely be justifiable if that's the only thing, the only teaching we ever got and followed. Because it's the only thing that actually makes a difference.
Yeah. That's been my experience. And it's like, I don't know how or why, but just all of these things coming together, you know, that just brings that deepened motivation, that clearer commitment,
yes,
that clearer focus,
yeah,
just that.
Yeah, yeah, you can hear it and folks can't see it, but there's a real clear, you're using your hand, kind of placing it out flat, and then using your other hand, just kind of hit it, yes. It's a very clear focus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not sure why, but just things have kind of come together to really deepen that motivation.
Yeah, and as I'm hearing that, reflective, one of the things that's come together is the collusion chapter in the Big Bamboozle book, which is just dynamite. You know, seeing all of these places of collusion that I hadn't seen I was colluding in.
Uh-huh.
You know, all of the practice processing conversation in the head.
Yeah.
I'll just
pause
so we can get settled.
Yeah.
Yeah, collusion that I hadn't seen as collusion until the Big Bamboozle chapter helped me see it.
Yes.
The collusion with the practice processing, you know, all of these things, belief, this feeling that it was going to help me gain insight and, just dropping it.
Yeah, it's such a good point. So to drop the conversation, you have to be aware you're in a conversation.
Yes.
And, boy, it does get good at talking to us about practice. It can feel like, no, I'm building awareness here.
Yes.
Until we do something like the collusion chapter in the book, The Big Bamboozle, that we've been working with as a sangha over the year.
Yeah.
And we can see, oh, wait, that's colluding. That's a conversation as well.
Yes.
And so, again, just like, wow. And then here's that deepening clarity and motivation to drop that.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's really, I think, getting in touch with the motivation not to collude in that way, from seeing and feeling how all of that collusion is just a form of thinking about me in the name of practice, right?
Uh-huh.
It's keeping alive that egocentricity. And and just as I'm practicing dropping the conversation hard, just seeing all sorts of things like, you know, so we're in that conversation in the head where I am the center of the universe. That's just what that conversation is. I am the center of the universe. I am the center of the universe. So when something happens, no wonder it feels like it's about me, because that's
right,
the filter it's coming through.
Uh-huh. Yes.
No?
Yes. Yeah.
No wonder.
Yeah. Gosh. And that couple of good points. That first point around, it's interesting. In a way, it can almost be helpful to be identified in a place of awareness, because the way you said it, I think you said, I really got to see and feel what it's like to be colluding in the name of practice, but really it's all about me.
Yeah.
And then of course when we're in that conversation, we are that me, that is the lens. I mean, there isn't another way to see things.
Yes.
So when things come through, it's, boy, this is really personal.
Yeah.
This is about me.
Yes.
And it's just so clear from that identification, because of course that's the lens we've been looking through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lens that we've been looking through, exactly. And on that lens, I've been practicing with, so seeing how all of that collusion just brings the energy back down to flatlining, brings it down, that practice processing brings it down.
Uh-huh.
And and how, you know, in that kind of, in that, like, practice of having the energy or having an experience or having an emotion, actually getting to experience it, what I'm seeing is I haven't been having the energy, I've been having the story.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the other day something happened, there was this big, you know, whoosh, whee, and I noticed that, let me see, so the like conditioned habit is to have attention on the story about the energy. So I can't believe they ordered, how could they, and that is having, that has been what has been taken to be having the experience, like letting her have whatever she's feeling. But it's actually having the story, not having the energy.
Wow, well articulated. Mm. Yeah, so there's something happens, there's a big whoosh of energy.
Yeah.
Whee! You know?
Yeah.
And the bamboozle has been, you know, well, how could they, and, you know, I'm really upset about, or whatever it is.
Yes.
And that, the bamboozle was, well, I'm getting to have my experience here.
Yes.
I'm getting to have my feelings.
Yes.
But
and that posture of it is exactly it, isn't it?
I think I've been there before.
Yeah.
But actually what's happening is the attention's on a story.
Yes.
About the energy.
Exactly.
And so, of course, we're not getting to have our experience. We're having its life, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And what was amazing about that was, so, you know, passionate dropping the conversation, this thing happens, the energy goes, whee! Seeing in that that the attention's on the story, not on the energy, and really practicing bringing attention to the energy, energy. What was different was that I wasn't carrying that story around all night.
Yeah, because that could happen.
Yeah, for the rest of the evening, yeah. That would be
maybe
it.
Even to the next day.
Oh, easily. Just to, it reminded me of that old Zen story about, you know, the two monks walking along, and there's a woman by the side of the road, and there's a muddy puddle, and one of the monks picks the woman up and escorts her across the muddy puddle, and then the two monks are traipsing along, and like 3 hours later, the other monk says, I can't believe you picked up the woman. We're monks, we're not supposed to do that thing. And the other monk says, are you still carrying her? I put her down miles ago. And that's what dropped in. Like, there was that feeling of, oh, usually I'd be traipsing along still in that story, and I can't believe it. And instead I was able to be the monk saying, I did put her down. I did put that down.
Yep.
You know, and just have the energy, which was really a different experience.
Yeah, I appreciate that story. It reminds me of the musing as well.
Mm.
You know, what's the talking about, he's holding his bag.
Aha.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And it's like the putting down the bag.
Yeah.
What's the meaning of Zen, and then what's the actualization of Zen? And he picks up his bag and he walks off. He's dropping the story and he's going on with his life. And in that way, we get to actually have the energy that we are.
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of it being drained, you know, out into the night in a story or, you know, carrying it along, it gets to stay for the person.
Yeah, gets to stay for the person. Yeah, and it happened again too, just later on in the week, where there was a call where, so that first thing, the story was, you know, negative. I can't believe them, how could they? And I got to have that energy for me by dropping that story.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a call where the story was positive, right? Like a wow, life living and just all participating together to, you know, do something good.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of energy. And then I got off the call and we came to sit. And the conversation was, again, the conversation trying to bring the energy back down to flatlining, but like, oh, you could have said this, or, you know, I think next time you talk to them, really mention this, because that's important, you know, to do even more of this good thing that we were talking about. You know, it's like...
Well, it gets us on both sides, doesn't it?
It gets us on both sides.
Tries to.
So
it doesn't sound like it did in this case.
Well, in this case, there was that just awareness of, this is that thing again.
Uh-huh.
I'm not having the energy, I'm having the conversation, or the conversation is having me, right?
Right.
Having the energy. The conversation is having the energy, I'm not having the energy. or life isn't having the energy, instead just to drop that, and can I just enjoy the energy of
yes.
that call, which is all it was, an exchange of energy, an experience of energy being lit up and moving. Can I drop, can I put that down, you know, and be here and have the energy?
Yeah, well, that's good. Just to really see how it works on kind of both sides. So there's kind of that whoosh of energy, like, how could they do something?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the whoosh of energy of just, wow,
yeah.
look at all life's working together, and,
yes.
you know, and it doesn't care. It's just
yeah.
looking to farm our energy, basically,
yeah.
back down to flatline,
yeah.
you know, which we're supposed to kind of think is kind of normal. That's just
centered, calm. Present.
Yeah, and to really mm-hmm. catch on. Wow, that was a great
yes,
a conversation.
Yes.
There it is. Just on the other side there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just going, that was a great conversation.
Yeah.
Now I'm back here.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. So fun. And the way I've been doing it is just bringing attention back to thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like mm-hmm. the bottom of the out-breath, noticing something in the environment to say thank you to. And, you know,
all we can say after having that experience.
Yeah.
You know, you did like a, oh, you know, so fun. And I projected into that part of the fun is like, it's fun to finally turn the tables on it a bit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think that was also brought up in the musings,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can just see, and we can just come back to thank you.
Yeah.
Love that. Just on the out breath, take a look around, you know, bringing us here.
Mm-hmm.
Always something.
Mm-hmm.
When we stop and look,
mm-hmm.
everything is really a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Everything's a thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Penny?
Well, that was so helpful. Thinking about me in the name of practice, that was a good one. And all of that. And being in the story about the energy, not the energy, that's just really helpful. I've been looking at energy this morning, and particularly in relation to the article, the musings.
Uh-huh.
And just what's been happening to energy. But I think I've been looking at it through the story, so it's just really helpful to just see that it's just energy. So I was at a workshop over the last weekend and into the first of the week. It was so much fun. I can hardly express how much fun it was. And,
uh-huh.
and it was, it involved a lot of physical activity and all people working together. So there was all this teamwork. But it was, you know, it was one of those things where it wasn't like, now we're all going to be a team. It was like, here's this task. And we just, as you get involved in it, you just, that gets created, you know, that kind of wonderful, just the energy is all working in the same direction.
Uh-huh.
And it was about collecting water and putting together this whole system. And it was plumbing and electrical and it was a gas. and one thing I really for sure saw in that story was that, I went to this workshop and I found the least expensive motel I could find. And it was fine, except it was right next to a freeway.
Uh-huh.
And a freeway off-ramp.
Uh-huh. We can see why it was the least expensive.
We can see why it was the least expensive. And you know where I live.
Yeah,
so.
It's not
and,
a freeway.
And so yes, I said, oh God, I'll never be able to sleep. It's going to be noisy. And everything around is like Taco Bell and Burger King. And,
uh-huh.
and I was really grumpy about that. And so after one day at the workshop, I came home and it was like, it was all just funny. You know, it was just
yeah.
funny. What a funny little room. Oh, there's all this traffic. Oh, there's motels. And nothing, it was not, you know, what happened was that, what happened was laughter. I mean, just as an amusing article, what happened
yes.
was what had been very serious and a problem just became laughter. And it became
yeah.
laughter because the energy I came home with
mm-hmm.
turned it into laughter.
Uh-huh. Yeah, converted.
Converted it.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah, so you're on this weekend workshop and you're just in this task with other folks where all the energy is just kind of, you know,
yeah.
working together and, you know, collecting water, and it's just amazing. And you come home in that place,
yes.
in that energy, and you can really see how stories operate.
Yeah.
Because now that you're in that energy, you come back to the same hotel by the same freeway and the same off-ramp and the
mm-hmm.
same things around it, and just it's funny.
It's funny.
You know, it's a funny little room, and you know, there's traffic, and these things around here.
Yeah, and nothing was a problem.
What a great experience to have.
Yes.
You know?
The whole thing was a great experience.
Yeah.
And for both of those reasons, I mean, sort of the contrast, too. And then what's been interesting is, so I came home on this high. I came home with a lot of energy, very upbeat energy. And one of the things that happened in the course of those 5 days was I never looked at the news. Mm-hmm. Then I came home and made the mistake of looking at the news.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy, I just watched the energy turn. It isn't that it's plummeted, it's that it has turned angry.
Uh-huh.
And upset and frustrated. And what I'm seeing from what was just said was, it's all just energy. The story's connected to the energy has changed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's been so helpful. There's a lot of energy still there.
Yeah, you can. There's still a lot of energy. You can feel it. But now there's kind of an energy to a story,
mm-hmm.
And there's an anger and a frustration.
Right.
Yeah.
And the anger and the frustration reside in the story.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't reside in the energy.
Uh-huh.
Which is just really clarifying. I'm very grateful for that. And what I'm looking at that feels interesting and a place to go is... You know, I love that there's a quote by Rumi, let yourself be drawn by the deeper pull of what you really love. And what I've been looking at is committing to that without story, the way I was saying it now is without a lot of stories about that which you really love. In other words,
uh-huh.
to allow oneself to be drawn without a lot of stories about what it means and what the result has to be, and how it has to go, and who that means I am.
Yeah.
To somehow just stay with that heart energy, without that story, with this heart energy, feels like the way to be of service, the way to live authentically, and the way to be of service to life. When there's a lot of energy that can get co-opted by things like frustration and anger and righteousness that are utterly at odds with life. But
yeah.
from the best impulse, do you know?
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, and the way that Rumi quote goes, it kind of feels like there's no place for a me or an I. No, sort of let yourself be drawn.
Right.
There's a pull already happening from
right.
the deepest heart's desire.
Right.
So from that place, you know, those stories, there's no, it's not involved in that process.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Staying true to that, though, is a challenge.
Yes, it's a practice, right?
And what I'm really seeing that, I mean, what I was looking at this morning in my calls was how to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
To be in, because what conditioning always wants to do is say, you know, enter in with, you know, teeth bared and flags flying, or get out.
Yeah, kind of one side of the duality.
Exactly. Yeah. So how to be where one feels drawn without getting caught in that.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm seeing that's so hopefully helpful and clarifying is that to stay with the energy and catch it when the energy is caught by a story.
Uh-huh.
Feels like a very helpful clue as to how one can proceed without either the energy coiling back on itself in a nasty way,
uh-huh.
or backing off and kind of betraying the energy.
Uh-huh. So it sounds like you really know that energy, that place of the heart's desire. And it sounds like you know how ego tries to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
You either come in, keep, you know, bearing and flags waving, or get out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the energy of those two places too.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of staying with that heart's desire energy going in, and just, I mean, really just paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, it gets pulled into a story where, you know, maybe the teeth bearing is kind of that energy coiling back on itself.
Yep.
Or if it's, you know, the other side of the duality, that kind of almost betraying the energy is how that feels.
Yeah.
Wait, that,
it feels big.
It feels really big, and it's so nice to have the way you said it, it's almost like a being mentored into, okay, so when we go into these situations, here's kind of,
mm-hmm.
this is what this feels, and oh well, helps the energy not get captured.
Yeah.
It is that place of, I mean, that's the response to the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Right. Did it again. Well, how about that?
Yeah, how about that? Well, that's
yeah.
fascinating. And
yeah.
we get to stay in the energy in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is kind of tangential, but one of it isn't, I guess. There was a movie called I Heart something or other. I forget the name of the whole movie. And I saw the movie. I didn't like the movie at all, but I liked one scene. There's this guy, Alec Baldwin, he's driving this car, and he's driving it recklessly, and he has this huge crash. Goes over somebody's fence and smashes into their house. Gets out of the car and looks around and says, "Well, that happened." And I love that line, you know? And, I mean, there's a lot you can say about Alec Baldwin's character when you get into that. That's not the point, you know? I just love that. Well, that happened.
Well, that
car wreck. And then you just...
Whatever.
Oh, well.
Because there's no amount of yelling and screaming, I shouldn't have, and that person, and that's going to change anything.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It's just going to keep you in the conversation, is all. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're available to do whatever's next.
That's right.
You know, whatever's in this moment.
That's right.
Boy, that is a training to practice doing that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's a good thing we're doing it together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're in.
So, I know that scene in that movie very well, and I think it's from a movie called State and Maine. I've seen it many times. I don't really know why I've seen it, but I remember that scene very well. This has been a really helpful conversation. And I'm listening, sitting here, listening to group about dropping conversation spurs, so much conversation. And I just dropped over and over. And a huge area of content for that is how I should change my life, how I should be different, what I should do other than what I do.
Uh-huh.
And that's been true for 30-something years. Uh-huh. And
doesn't give us a lot of room just to be with our lives, but no.
And that's it.
Or be ourselves.
And it's hard to catch. Except this morning, it's very clear.
Uh-huh.
Because I'll miss what someone just said.
Oh,
and so that catches the attention. And the attention goes to, oh, I was in this story about how I should be different and how my life should be different.
Yeah, that's the, you hear the drop in the conversation, and that's what starts it on that.
Yeah, so just back here, back to the breath.
Back here, back to the breath.
Back in the body.
Because you practice that a lot.
Yeah,
so the habit is, you know, I think for all of us is how we should be different, how our life should be different. And that's an interesting process you just laid out. So since we are in group, and it sounds like your attention was really on the person and what they were saying, that if you missed anything of what they were saying, then that was the clue. Well, where did the attention go? Oh, it's in that habitual conversation.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
I don't have the leap, so that's some part of me really believes.
Yeah, it can feel believable, except from that place of awareness. It sounds like you're clear you don't want to be in that, because once you realize that, then your practice was to come back to the breath, to be into the body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For one reason, it ends suffering.
That's a good reason. One reason it ends suffering.
Yeah, so there's nothing like dropping a conversation to elicit conversation, because it starts fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I talked about this couple of Sundays ago. The more sensation, the higher the energy is, the louder the conversation is. And it's very, and it's never good.
The conversation isn't good.
Yeah, it's never actually good.
Mm-hmm.
It always takes a self-hating direction.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because the way you said it, it's like, so there's the energy spot, there's intense sensation. That's That's one thing. And what's not, so we could say, well, I don't know your tip about that, but maybe that's okay. It's a body vibrating. It's a body vibrating, yeah.
And then conditioning just creates worlds around it.
Yeah.
And as far as I can tell, it all is in service of self-hate. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just co-opted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there's never from that place. It's never going anywhere good. Mm-hmm. You know, so as we wonderfully thank you very much for talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good to be reminded.
Just, you know, it's just here. It's just right now in the body. This is what's here. This is alive.
Yeah.
Everything else is story and suffering.
Everything else is story and suffering.
Illusion.
And illusion. Yeah. Yeah, because we're supposed to not see that somehow the high energy and the self-hate got paired together. That they're not one thing. So
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, exactly what I heard you saying. So just reminding yourself,
ooh.
As we were saying, there's that high energy and those intense sensations, and I don't have to follow that self-hating story, which we want to suspect is designed to siphon off that high energy for itself. Yeah,
I don't have to follow it.
You don't have to.
I do.
Sure.
It's a practice.
And we come back and we say thank you.
Always wonderful to be reminded that it's a practice.
It is.
Because another big aspect, of course, of the yin and yammer is, you should be over this by now. You're doing this again. I heard from you.
Yeah. I think we're familiar with that, and we're just back in the loop. And just to remind ourselves, too, that it's, this is what I've seen earlier anyway, it's just, I don't know why, but it just seems the process to waking up.
Yeah.
You know, we get caught in the conversation. We wake up in the conversation. You know, we wake up out of it. We say thank you. We caught the conversation. We drop it and bring the attention back. You know, it's not our fault. We didn't do anything wrong.
I forget the thank you too often or often.
Yeah, that is a good one. Isn't it? Yeah, well, we talk about that. You know, Sherry talks about that training the attention like a puppy.
Yeah.
And every time, you know, you called the puppy back and you know, yelled at him or hit him on the nose, how likely would the puppy want to come back to you? And it's the same way with the attention. If we bring the attention back to center and then the response is, what's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you that your attention wasn't
right. As opposed to, thank you for coming back, attention.
So, all morning, I've had a kind of jittery feeling is the adjective I would put on it. And I haven't noticed that that everything other than the sensation of story, I haven't noticed that. I've been believing it's low grade, and it's not about anything that has anything to do with anything. You know, that's just what's going on. And so just right here, right now, that's the sensation that those are the stories that get spun about the sensations, and just feeling the breeze coming through the ear,
mm-hmm.
and seeing the room, seeing the quilt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what's there's really nothing to say next.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So there's this energy around, well, it feels kind of jittery, maybe the word attached to it would be agitation. And you just... is that what, did I hear that right? Or?
The word that I would attach to it is apprehension.
Oh, I'm sorry, apprehension.
Yeah.
Okay. And just really paying attention to the sensation. And we were just talking about that practice of not going into the story about the energy or about the sensation. And it seemed like you just demonstrated how we could practice with that, which is you're aware of the energy and you're keeping yourself grounded by paying attention to what's occurring now. So there's the breeze coming through the door, and you can feel that. You can see the Buddha quote. You're listening to what other folks were saying. Yeah, that's such a great way to show how we can just stay with that without going into the story.
Yeah. And the story constantly pulls. Constantly.
Well, as soon as we...
It's just constant.
It requires us to keep feeling that breeze and seeing that Buddha quote and listening to it. Because if we stop doing that, you know, the habit is to check in with what it has to say about the sensation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, my favorite room quote, it's up in big letters in my kitchen, is forgive safety. Live where you fear to live.
The Rumi quote, forget safety. I'm kind of saying, like, that doesn't even exist. Right? In the way that we think it does. And live where you fear to live. You can just see conditioned mind going, what?
What?
No, I don't want to. But we can, I can feel that response to that. Yes. Imagine partly that's why it's on your wall. You know that's true.
Story. It's just in there. And I'm listening to it and looking at it as it happens. And I think it wants me to talk about it, but I don't want to.
Yeah, so we're just, again, you think you're demonstrating the movement. So we could project your attention was on the Rumi quote and about that. I'm going to just project the truth for you around there's no safety. And that in the place that I'm afraid to live. And then then the attention just, and you notice that, right? Call it out right now. I'm not actually going to give that attention. I'm not going to talk about that. Yeah, that's it. That's it, isn't it? And you say thank you, too.
Thank you. That Rumi quote just gave me chills.
Uh-huh.
Oh, big chills. And I just am so appreciating how the experience of being in Sangha in group is just so supportive. When somebody's talking about an experience of presence, and that brings us to an experience of presence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
It is really powerful, isn't
it?
Yeah, it is why we do this together, isn't it?
Yes.
To hear people, to project that presence that someone else is going through, we'd have to come to presence, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And to go right there with that quote, you know, the body just responds, those chills.
Yeah, and I think because it helped me see that I was just in an experience of feeling unsafe and craving feeling safe, right? So there's a energy kind of in the second and third chakras that feels like it's just moving and there's a lot, and I can feel it going together with the story of nervous and jittery and it's getting attached to, you know, so after group I'm going to be going in to make the lunch, and there's this survival feeling around that, and it's like a So the promise is that if I attend to the story about, okay, well, I'll do that step and that step, while I'm doing that step, I can do that step, it's all of that control, then that will make the, that will soothe the sensations.
Uh-huh.
And it's just keeping alive this identity of someone who's nervous, a bit inadequate,
yeah.
anxious. Uh-huh. And just hearing the quote took me to the place of living where I fear to live, which is drop all that, let life take care of that in the moment when it's here to do it,
yes.
and be right here living fully now.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Wow. Hmm. Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
just that place, Kasha, which we can all relate. There's something in the future we have to do, and
yep.
these sensations, and in this case, they get associated with, you know, like a nervousness or
mm-hmm.
a lack of safety or something mm-hmm. like that. And we're supposed to just go, oh yeah, we are afraid. Well, what should I do? Well, here's how you're going to be safe. Let's think about the steps, and then you're going to do this, and then you're going to do that, and you'll get through it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And it just, you know, hearing that Rumi quote, I just imagine like, wow, just went right through that.
Yes.
That hui, we could
yep.
say maybe,
yep.
and brought you to, wait a second, life's going to take care of that when it's time to take care of that.
Yes.
Right now, I'm here in group
yep.
with these amazing people talking about practice
mm-hmm.
and being present.
Yep. Yeah. So it's really feeling the difference between that ego identification,
yeah.
someone who's got to do something, who's got to survive something, and by the way, inadequate and a bit pathetic. Two, wow, that huge universe sized mm-hmm. perspective of living where we fear mm-hmm. to live, you know.
Yeah, gosh. It reminds me kind of what you were saying before, too. That's so helpful, really, to be in awareness and see that identification.
Yeah.
For what it is,
yes.
you know, and then, because then of course we're experiencing for an awareness where, whoa, I mean, you're using your hands kind of like expansive
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and wide mm-hmm. and big,
mm-hmm.
and it gets kind of what you were saying before about dropping the conversation. Again, it just gets it, oh, that's a conversation. I'm going to drop that.
Yes, yes.
You know, I want to live where, you know, the fears to
exactly. you know. Exactly. I was tempted to make that pronoun change too mm-hmm. because truly it's like saying, wow, that's how I'm kept small
mm-hmm.
in that little world of, oh, I'm going to make the most, I'm nervous about it, and oh, for Christ's sake, you know, it's like seeing the just getting that perspective,
yes,
you know?
Getting that perspective,
yeah. And also seeing that it's a process. So
yes,
we can laugh that it's doing that over making the lunch, and that's the process of being kept
yeah.
small and in that ego identification. And then what's possible is to drop that and live in that, you know, in that place that we project. Rumi was to write that
yes.
thing that we're now putting on our walls, you know,
yes.
to remind us.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
We can just project he was in that place, and of course, that's resonating with us.
Yes.
We just went to that same place.
Yep.
We know that,
yes.
actually.
Yes.
It's just putting it into practice. And
yep.
again, it's being so well demonstrated. And there was another example. That it's the content is making the lunch, but we see it as a process.
Yes.
That it's setting things up in the imaginary future about
mm-hmm.
it's going to be like this, and this is
mm-hmm.
how you're going to be, and don't forget,
mm-hmm.
by the way, you're kind of in that, and blah, 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 blah. And as soon as we see that, we're aware of that, we drop it.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
You know, there's just that such a clarity.
Yeah.
You know, about what that is, and then wow, I just made that movement.
Yes.
You know, that's cool.
Yeah.
And we just, as was saying, being said earlier too, we just practice that movement. That's all we're doing, and
yes.
and to do it together to support ourselves, because
mm-hmm.
as we've been saying, it's just we forget, and when we've been doing something for most of our lives,
mm-hmm.
and maybe. Before that,
mm-hmm.
it just feels really familiar
mm-hmm.
and true.
Yes.
Until we bump up against something.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
then that's the gift. We get to see it for what it is. And then we have the choice to be in that wide open place
right.
and practice that.
Right. And be truly available here
and
now.
Here.
And be truly available in the kitchen
yes.
when that's time to do it. And it's because that's been the experience of this dropping the conversation hard. That that there's that level of, so I could feel that there was that bit of identification around, and there's that level of struggling against the conversation to drop it, fighting to drop it, that I'm getting to see is the conversation. It's on that same level, in that same system. And what I'm experiencing is possible is to turn attention to a place where it feels like the conversation is already dropped. Like there isn't an I struggling to drop it, there's just that grounded ear, breeze, butter quilt, sound of the creek, breath, thank you, like that.
That seems helpful for all of us, right? Because it's like, okay, drop the conversation hard, here I go. And if it's a struggle, looking to see, what would be struggling with that?
Yes.
Oh gosh, maybe that's actually what you're saying. That's another conversation.
Yes.
This time it's about dropping the conversation.
Yeah.
And that is just so contrasted by the experience of actually the conversation's already been dropped.
Yes.
It's almost like from that place it's always been dropped.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. It's like that Bankai thing that Sherry was telling us about. That Bankai used to just say the same thing over and over again. Something like, all problems are resolved in the unborn Buddha mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
It's like the conversation is already dropped. And I've been thinking of him and saying thank you to him for saying that over and over again so that we can get to hear it, because
because that resonates.
That resonates too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does resonate. It's especially kind of hooking when there's been an experience of expansive disidentification, living in thank you, just every breath is a thank you. And then, you know, you get into the conversation, it's like, well, yesterday you were living in thank you. Why can't you drop what's going on? I'm dropping it. What? Right? And so
it's almost like the way you just, it's like you drop it, but then you look to see to it,
exactly.
And I drop it.
Exactly. And that's the most exquisite, thrilling training edge. I'm not looking to see.
Wow.
Oh, and the other one is that it can, if it's really hooking, is it starts whispering about. So you just look to conditioned mind to do that thing. You just look to condition mind. So it set that up as the worst possible crime that I could be committing, especially in this place, right? So it just knows the language. So what it's supposed to get me to do is to look to condition mind to check out when it whispers. You just look to condition mind. Did I?
Yeah.
What
a setup.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so I just, practicing that, I remember Sherry once talking about telling a woman to practice. I think the story was she was like, the boss, but people weren't kind of responding to her as the boss. And so the training was to just put your hands on the desk and say, when I say no, I mean no. And so practicing embodying that, you know, I am not going to look to conditioned mind to check out whether or not I just look to conditioned mind.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's good. So a couple things. What a great bamboozle to uncover.
Oh.
That it sets up that looking to conditioned mind is like one of the worst things you could ever do. You know, I mean, we're talking folks who live in the monastery, but I bet you a lot of people can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Using the practice language against us.
Yes.
And so then, oh my gosh, that's true. That is a really, we're not supposed to do that. And then what it's doing is it's training us to look to it.
Yeah.
So, did I look to you?
Exactly.
As we're looking to it.
Exactly.
And so what's so fun is when we get that clear, then we can really clearly move to know.
Yeah.
You know, and embodying, I love that, embodying the boss, putting the hands on the desk. No, I'm not going to that conversation.
Yes.
I know what that is.
Yes.
Bunch of hooey.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the Buddha, apparently, you know, when Mara was doing all of the cavorting and tempting, just putting their hand on the ground, I'm choosing this, here, now, you know, and then if there's any information, I'll be here.
Yeah.
Because that's the experience, that when life offers information, it comes, it's like that feeling of, as it comes in, I know exactly in my bones that it's true, right? It's just like, oh wow, thank you, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is so. And then when it's conditioned mind that kind of whispers, like, oh, I think you, when you said that, no. And it's like this creeping paranoia. It feels like the whole system getting more and more like acidic as that conversation's going on, like, oh. And that's where it's been having me, right? The like that form of collusion, just that whispering. Something in practice language about how you're not quite meeting a standard or that wasn't quite all.
Yeah.
And just to really drop that and life, I'm available, show me, help me see this. I'm not going to be in a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gosh. Again, just knowing that from an experiential level is really helpful.
Mm.
You know, great things to have on the recorder too. This experience is, it's like creeping in, and you know, you can just feel our bodies contract, you know, and kind of come in, and you're like acidic.
Yeah.
The word that was coming, almost like polluting our system, you know, and that kind of like paranoia and checking. Those are all signals that even though it's, you know, but I really, I mean, gosh, just taking over that place of somebody who really wants to be here.
Yeah.
And okay, well, that means don't look to finish your mind.
Yes.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yes, exactly.
You know, and that play, that is so different from the experience of, and you know, your body language was kind of open, you know, the shoulders go back, and the face, the head comes up, and there's often like a smile, and life, just use me, life, thank you.
Yeah, and because often when information comes in from life that's like devastating to ego, there's laughter with it, and lightness.
Uh-huh.
So ego would have me carrying that place, oh God, what if I, oh no, I don't want to, like fearing a blow because I didn't identify with it. And then, you know, when life delivers something that's absolutely ego devastating and obliterating, there's a laughing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh gosh,
thank you.
Yes. And so it is possible to live in a place where it fears to live. I know I have experienced it, and it's just recording about that, recording about it every day, every moment, being reminded that that's possible. And
Meeting yourself, reminding yourself that recording can really help.
Yeah.
You know, what's the process? What's possible? I know that place. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Penny. It just struck me, I thought that in my quote too, and it struck me that the two go together. Because, you know, when I'm wanting to stay safe, I am not available to the deeper pull of what my heart is drawn to.
Uh-huh.
I'm not available.
Yes.
And then there's a conversation about staying safe.
Yes. Yeah. The attention is with conditioned mind on whatever that is, staying safe. And if the attention's on that, it's not available to the pull of your heart's desire.
And I would say that what conditioning would say we have to stay safe from is the pull of our heart's desire.
Yes,
that's exactly,
it's terrified of that.
That is the threat.
Oh, phew, let's just go over a conversation about safety. Yeah, because that's really unsafe to go with your heart's desire.
Yeah.
But we know it's funny, but we can see from its perspective, that
it is
terrifying.
It is, because you're going with your heart's desire, you're not going under conditioning's direction.
Boy, that's just that thing about we want to be real clear about what we are and what we're not,
mm-hmm.
right? Because when we're identified, it feels believable.
Yeah.
You know, here's all the sensations, that means it's not safe.
Right.
But if we stop and look, wait, this is my heart's desire.
Mm-hmm.
I've been being pulled. I'm being drawn there.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I want to be. It's not scary.
Yeah.
Maybe it's even exciting.
Yeah, but that would be where conditioning most fears to live.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting putting those together.
That's another, helpful, those reminders, you know, because we know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, in that clarity,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's its sphere.
Yes.
Yeah. June?
That's in the place that it fears to live. It has no power.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't just default to its addictions.
Uh-huh.
And there's no comfort for it.
Yes.
And as I talk about every time I come into this room, a huge karmic issue for this person is comfort. And so I think that's one of the reasons I'm so drawn to that quote. It's a little nudge. That was more like a slam into this.
Maybe that's what's required.
Yeah. No, you know, the comfort seeking is the death. That is the dead place in this life.
Yeah, the comfort seeking is the dead place, and it's just a strong karmic pull.
It is.
Yeah, but in that place of that you're describing, that it doesn't have any power. It doesn't.
And inside me it turns kind of sad and pitiful. You know, it gets my attention that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it can kind of morph into whatever gets our attention. So sad and pitiful for you is another place where it can
help
you.
I'm not so bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, gosh.
Yeah.
I'm uh-huh. getting a little scrambled right now. Uh-huh. But
well, it feels like that could be that place, that moving into that kind of victim place.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
so bad, which then starts to set up, I project some of those behaviors.
And it's true. It's not so bad. Unless, unless it's got the life. Unless it's got this life. And it's doing it quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's only bad in the sense of there's another opportunity to explain this.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, if you're seeing that, then it's not a missed opportunity. Yeah. Because we don't get a lot of credit for that, Jack.
I miss it.
Sure.
I'm missing it.
Yeah. But it seems like we kind of, back to that thank you, we often don't get acknowledged. You know, it doesn't get acknowledged all the times that we notice, that we come back, that we are here. And all the attention is gone. Oh, yeah, I didn't do that again. Oh, yeah. But it's like, gosh, we didn't even show up at group today. We all sat in meditation for 30 minutes. We're all practicing bringing our attention in this group. It's amazing. What a miracle we know sitting here today.
Here's a miracle. Two Sundays ago, I think, at some point in the not very distant past, you were facilitating, and you suggested that you tell me if you remember this at all, that the movement back, the movement out of the conversation, out of the illusion, just back into just here, is the mentor.
Uh-huh. So have you been looking at that? That movement out of the conversation to here is the mentor.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't remember exactly what I said,
but it
actually doesn't matter. So what are you seeing about that?
Well, what I'm seeing is I've had an idea, it's a conversation, an idea of some structure that the mentor talks and is some kind of wise place that does something else than bringing attention back to the present.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't been able to be very, I haven't been at all successful.
Uh-huh. We can almost imagine there's a car. You haven't been very successful, and it's not about, and it's this, and it's that. That's what the mentor is. The way you're talking, it sounds like.
I haven't been very successful. And yes, accessing that idea about the mentor.
Right. What I'm pointing at is that sounds like you've been told that, So the mentor isn't about, it's about talking. It's about saying, do you know what I'm saying?
Books. I understand that the books are written to get the conversation started, so to speak, or to get people to look in a direction. And so I'm not saying the language that we use about the mentor should be different. I'm saying that I haven't been very, it's recording and listening, two-handed recording. I'm good in the right hand, I put it in the left hand. Not much happens. And so I have this idea that if I keep doing it, that the words will get, I'll get the right words. The recordings will be right. Because I will have accessed the mentor or will have gotten out of the way. And boy, it's just, I'm not getting there. It's been years now, I haven't gotten there. And so just the notion that somehow the willingness or the reminder that just drops in, conversation, suffering, back to the breath, back to the body, that's the mentor.
That's the mentor, yeah. Yeah, gosh, that's not a very kind story to be living in, is it? Well, you just can't, you know, and when you get it in the other hand, nothing really comes out.
Well, it's definitely been a hindrance.
Yeah. Well, because what I wonder is, in this other case, it doesn't sound like there's a story about, there's no story about the mentor in that way.
Right.
So you just got to have an experience. Oh, that movement is the mentor. And that resonated with you.
Yeah.
So I'd just be curious, what if that was a story? That you don't know how to access the mentor, and there's just words that don't come out. And do you know what I'm saying about? Does that make sense?
Well, let's see. The story. Let's see. The story is that inside here, the brain, I guess, interpreted the words about, because we haven't talked about the mentor as intensely as we have in the last few years. It's just, that hasn't been that word. Mm-hmm. Are we getting close here? Let's see. I just had this idea that was designed to bamboozle.
Yeah, exactly.
Because.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's great. So yeah, and I'm sure it happens to all kinds of folks with that. I think I've heard people say, you know, what's the mentor? And how do I, you know, and what it sounds like you have now is an experience of that for you.
Yeah, and I've had that experience. And of course, I know the back and shoulder. I'm going back. But the word mentor has never been. It's just grace.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I won't name the mentor Grace.
So that tap on that shoulder, that come back here, that those kind reminders, you know that place. And somehow that got separated from, well, that's not the mentor. So to kind of go, gosh, well, what if that's the mentor too? Kind of opens things up, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Thank you all.